Well, praise the Lord. My name is Pastor Keith Fritz, and I'm so happy to be with you today. Today, we're going to talk about how to weather the storms, how to weather the storms of life. And it's a very pertinent topic because what's going on, especially for Christians, especially what's going on in the world today. So let's get right into the word and let's just bow our heads forward with a prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for life. We thank you for godliness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is in us and we the fire of the Holy Spirit. It is in us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, and as we go into your word today, Lord, that your word will bring life and healing and deliverance to us, Lord, that the words out of my mouth and be translated to the ears of the hearer, to bring life, to bring deliverance, to bring an urgency and a zeal to apply the word of God to their lives so that they continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. So Lord, we thank you and we bless you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And once again, my name is Pastor Keith Fritz, and we're here to talk today about how to weather the storms of life. So we all face storms in our lives, and they come in one or three forms. They can be physical, or they could be emotional, it could be spiritual. And that's just part of life. Because we live in this fallen world, where when sin came into the world, everything changed. So we have to learn how to adjust to the storms that come into our lives, because they're going to keep coming. And it's been that way since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And it'll always be that way till Jesus comes. Come, Lord Jesus, come. There'll be all kinds of storms that we face. We either have to learn how to face them and how to survive them, or we get defeated by them. And we find ourselves missing out on God's blessing because we don't know how to respond to the storms in our lives. If I should ask you today, if you remember a storm in your life that challenged your faith, or maybe challenged your beliefs about the different aspects of the Christian life, we would all say yes to that. The issue is, do we know how to respond to them? Do we know how to respond to them in a way that we come out victorious and stronger as a result of the storm? Now, I didn't say that God sends every storm, because many storms are a result of sin in our lives, disobedience. And again, the issue is, how do we respond? How do we respond? So let's go to the Word of God. See what the Word of God has to say. Please turn, I know you have your Bibles, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 1. So here Paul was writing to Timothy because he knew he was going through a storm in his life. He was the pastor of a church in Ephesus, and that church was in turmoil. So he was going through a very difficult time. Let's read. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Verse 4. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Verse 6. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul knew Timothy was going through a rough time. He knew that he was very discouraged, and he knew that he needed some help. Let's go back to verse 6. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Now think about a fire. And that fire is getting dimmer and dimmer. It's a bonfire or a campfire. and you want to throw or barbecue. You want to throw some coal on it, or wood, or kerosene, whatever it takes, maybe, to cause that flame to increase. Now, the Greek word for stirrup is anazoporeo, which means kindle up, inflame one's mind, inflame one's strength, inflame one's zeal. Timothy had become discouraged. He thought these folks were his friends, and some weren't. He thought they wanted the truth of the gospel, and they didn't. Now, pastoring a church like in a big city like Ephesus, which was the crossroads of the world, was a huge challenge. We too go through difficult times in our lives. Storms that we don't invite. Storms that come from people we think that love us. Storms that come from seemingly nowhere. And you cry out, what did I do to deserve this? So Timothy needed encouragement. That's why he said to him, I want to remind you to stir up the embers, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. All of us have the Spirit of God who is in us when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if I should ask you today, can you remember a time in your life when you felt that your walk with God is growing sort of cold? And if I ask you what happened, you probably be able to tell me what caused it. But the fire you used to have is no longer there. You began to doubt some things about the Word of God. At one time, you would have defended the Word of God with your life. And now you find yourself compromising. When your friends ask you, what's going on in your life? You say, nothing. They know something's up. And you know what it is. Right? You're able to discern with your own mind and heart that you have drifted away from God to some degree, or the troubles and the trials and the heartaches that you are suffering are getting the best of you. You even lost your smile. You've lost your joy. You're about to lose your hope. You've even begun to question the Word of God. Some verses that you thought were anchor verses for you, they are no longer significant to you. You're not reading the Bible like you used to. You're not praying with the enthusiasm and faith like you used to. And so what happens is your spiritual life grows cool, and then it gets cold, and you begin to wonder if God is real. That can happen to anybody. It happens to people who go through difficult times. But the people who are not really versed in the Word of God, they will to others that will tell you, well, if I were in your position, when they start with that phrase, if I were in your position, they're about to tell you something that you probably do not need to hear. They don't know what's going on in your life, right? They only know what they see by what your countenance shows. Paul is writing to Timothy because he knows what he feels. Paul's been there. Paul knows about persecution. He knows about heartache. He knows about troubles and trials. He's writing to him and saying to him, God has not given you the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind, a well-disciplined mind, self-discipline. Verse 8 goes on. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He's saying, Timothy, fire it up. Throw some coals on the fire. You don't have to listen to believe what you're hearing. Paul simply giving him some sound advice about how to respond to these things. You don't respond to the trials, the heartaches, and difficulties by simply listening to your friends or your family, because naturally they're prejudiced, right? But it may be they're prejudiced and saying, "Oh, they could do you that. You could do that to you. You're a good man. Oh, that's crazy," right? But it may be that God has you under some conviction about something you need to get rid of in your life, something you need to change. And you can't ignore the feelings that God has given you because he wants you to change something in your life that may be hindering you from receiving God's best. Remember, God wants the best for you. I've been through a few storms myself. So have you. Right? And the issue is, how do we respond? So Paul's response to Timothy, what was a response that we all need to listen to carefully. People get into difficult situations and what happens? They become fearful. When that happens, it stifles their capacity to think and act wisely. If you give in to other people's comments and give in to your feelings, sometimes it causes us to be very indecisive. We can't make up our mind about things. Sometimes it diminishes our capacity to do certain things. Something's going on in our life that God needs to deal with. Listen, all trials are not the result of sin. Trials come because you're a believer. The Bible says those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Trials come because there's going to be some kind of separation. There's going to be some kind of indifference. There's going to be some kind of criticism. There's going to be some kind of misunderstanding. And that can happen within the family. That can happen outside the family. That can happen where you work. What happens is that it undermines our sense of self-confidence. If you don't know how to respond correctly, then you begin to wonder, what do I believe? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I hearing from God? Am I listening to God? Did God really say that to me? We are sort of tormented by our emotions and we vacillate, going from strength to weakness. Yes and no. Maybe and maybe not. And you're listening to this right now. And you may be going through some difficulty, a hardship, a pain. Find yourself questioning. Remember, the devil is your enemy. He will throw coals on your doubts and on your fears to encourage you to doubt God, to question his will for your life. Question your relationship with him. You know, you stop reading your Bible, you stop praying, you start talking to friends and joining the crowd. And the next thing you know, you're backslidden. You're out of fellowship with God because you're listening to the wrong people and not reading what the word of God says and bringing all your cares, all your worries, all your, to him. You can't bring anything to God that's too big for him. You can't. You can't bring anything to God for which he does not have a perfect answer every single time. Can I get an amen? I'll say amen myself. Praise God. Right? You may have to struggle a little bit. It'll take a little hard work to get you back on track. Right? If you have drifted in your spiritual life by not continually reading the word or not continually consistent prayer. Right? The original cause of it all is because you ignored the fire. And so now it's getting less and less. The flames are getting lower and lower, dimmer and dimmer. And you're looking for someone to blame. You got to take blame for yourself because you have neglected your relationship to God. You've neglected your time of prayer. You've neglected your time of meditation. Right? And even when you've been praying and things go wrong, that doesn't mean you quit praying. It doesn't mean that God's not listening. And sometimes God allows very difficult situations in our lives to do what? To grow us up. To grow us up. Can't be a baby all the time. Growth is expected. A baby is born today. 9 months later, you expect to see some. A year later, you expect to see some growth. Can't stay a baby. You're not going to always have everything your way because you're a believer. And when we tell people, just trust Jesus and everything will be fine, and they do trust Jesus and all hell breaks loose in their particular situation, then they're like, what? What? What happened? Right? Because hear this, sometimes a husband or wife gets saved and the other does not. Sometimes children get saved and parents do not. Jesus is not only the Prince of Peace, he's also a source of conflict. when we have relationships with people who don't believe what we believe. You know, what comes to mind is during the pandemic. There were conflicts in all kinds of relationships. In the family, husbands, wives, co-workers, workers, because the question was to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. And there were feuds in families and in relationships. There was conflicts because of that question, right? So Jesus is a source of conflict when we have relationships with people who don't believe what we believe. Verse 6, we're still in 2 Timothy, right? Verse 6, praise God. Verse 6, let me find verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I lose my place. Okay, verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So whatever you're facing in life, you have three resources that are adequate to handle a situation. And they are from God. And it's very encouraging. They are from God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but, and there are three things. Right? So he said, stir up the gift. He said, God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. So what kind of power is this? The power of the Holy Spirit when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Spirit of the living God came into you and sealed you as a child of God. Ephesians 1:13 says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That power will also empower you, enable you to live a godly life. Every single believer has within him or her the power, the enablement, the strength to live a godly life. And so when troubles and difficulties come, he says now, remember this, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. You need to kindle that truth, stir up that truth. And there have been times in my life when I was a little discouraged, but I learned really quickly in life, the first thing to do is not to go talking to somebody. The first thing to do is get into the Word and find out what God has said. And he said in his Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be there for you. He said, I'll always have your back. And the Word of God will always have the right thing to say to us and for us. So Paul said, stir it up. And he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, not only power, but he said love. We often get discouraged because we don't feel loved. Maybe somebody has mistreated us. And I'm sure that's what Timothy was going through. Paul told Timothy, put the wood on the fire, throw some kerosene on it. Remember who you are. Remember what you have. You not only have the power of God, but you have the love of God within your heart. And that love goes both two ways. That love is from God for you. God loves you, Timothy. Whoever you're listening to this right now, God loves you. He's telling Timothy, remember how your mother and your grandmother loved you. Remember what they taught you about God's love. You know you can endure anything if you know that God loves. And there comes times in our lives when you feel like nobody else cares. But I have a would you rather question for you. Would you rather the world love you but not God? Or would you rather God loves you and not the world? Easy answer. Easy answer. Your choice should be, I would rather God loves me and not the world. There may be times in your lives when you don't feel that love, when you feel shut out or neglected, ignored, but God's relationship with you will never fall apart. So he's telling Timothy, remember, and I'm telling you, remember these three things. You have the power of God within you. Second, you have the love of God. And not only that, he uses this word sound mind, which is self-control, which means a disciplined life. A disciplined life is an ordered life. It's a life that's under control. It's a life that faces difficulties, hardships, trials, and conflict and stands unmoved. Why? Because you're resting in the power of God and then the love of God for you. And no matter what goes on, you can still stand. whatever the suffering, whatever storm may be that's blowing hard against your life, a disciplined life is a life committed to Almighty God and does not waver with the winds of all the false doctrines. God has given us a relationship with Him, within Him, that makes us adequate for any storm. When everything around us becomes unglued and falls apart, we don't see any answer. There's only one place to go. That's on your knees in the Word of God, trusting Him. He will solidify your position. He will make your way clear. He will give you a sense of confidence and boldness and assurance that you can stand against anything. You could stand against anything. Anything that comes your way, if you're obedient to the Word of God. So right now, many of you are going through storms. Maybe it's a storm at work, storm in your marriage, storm with your children, storm with your parents, storm with your health, storm with your finances. Storms have many origins, but the answer is only one. And that is our Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, in His love and His ability to work in our lives, to live lives that are settled on the Word. Sound mind, disciplined mind. Right? So if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, none of these things will come for you. None of these things will come. For you to get that power, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you have to accept Him as Lord and Savior. So that's not you today. And you want to be a child of God so you could have access to that power, that love, and that song, discipline, mind, life. I want to lead you in a short prayer. And after you say this prayer, you'll be a child of God. So say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead. I believe He's alive now. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to follow You from this day forward. Thank You for saving me now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And just like that, you're a child of God. So we want to God bless you. Lord, I just want to pray for all those who said that prayer, that they now ears of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is their home. Lord, I pray that they find a good church where they'll be taught the Word of God and they'll continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of You, and they'll be able to weather the storms of life that come. Lord, we bless them and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. You will continue to grow in Him. And remember that Jesus Christ is